Message, yeah, of God, right? Is that good? Yes? Okay. So let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. Today we are going to go where many of us have not gone before. That is the Star Trek dialogue, to go where man has not gone. You are permitted to laugh. Ezekiel chapter 20. And let's read verses 1-3. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 1-3. It came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Have you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And let's read Exodus chapter 20. And verse 31 and 32. Exodus 20. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20, 31 and 32. For when you offer your gifts and make your sons pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols, even to this day. So shall I be inquired of you by you, O house of Israel? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you by you. What you have in your mind shall never be. When you say, we will be like the Gentiles, like the families in other countries, serving wood and stone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray you would speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I want to speak about our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest consultant, right? We hear of consultants in Bangalore, but our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest consultant. And what we're going to look at, and I just want us to understand, is this, that religion is man trying to influence God. What is it? Man trying to influence God. Man trying to make God do what he wants him to do. So yesterday in the paper it has come, because of the demonetization in Tirupati, the offerings have dropped by 2 crores a day or something like that. Right? Man is trying to what? Influence God. Man is either paying in advance of paying after the favor is received. Are you understanding? Man is trying to influence God. We see an illustration of this in 1 Kings 18, where the 450 prophets of Baal, they shout from morning to night, and they're trying to influence God. And God doesn't hear them. So Elijah says, maybe your God is meditating, maybe he's asleep, maybe you got to wake him up, right? And then Elijah prays and God immediately answers, right? Now, this is very important today, that even if a person says, I believe in God and I don't believe in idols, he still doesn't believe in the true God. Because in 1 John 2:23 it says, he who has the Son has the Father. He who doesn't have the Son does not have the Father also. And uniquely for us today, in 1 Corinthians 8:4-6, it says, there is one God. There are many gods and lords in this world, but for us there is one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that God is whose? He is ours. Isn't that beautiful? He is ours. Now, when we see here Ezekiel chapter 20, we'll first look at a little background, and then we will get into what the text is saying. To understand Ezekiel, we need to understand that God called a man, Abraham. Abraham's son was Isaac. Isaac's son was Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes in the book of Exodus. And then we see that God took them into the promised land, right? The first generation did not go in. They multiplied. The second generation went in the book of Joshua. And then in Judges, for about 400 to 450 years, was a period of everyone doing what was right in their own eyes. And then they asked God for a king. So the first king is Saul. If you read 1 Samuel, it's Saul. He has a 40-year reign. The next king is David. He has a 40-year reign. And the next king is Solomon. He has a 40-year reign. Right? So 1 Samuel is about Saul. 2 Samuel is about David. And 1 Kings chapter 1 to 11 is about Solomon. It is sequential. It's easy to understand. After that, the kingdom divides into two. Between Solomon's son Rehoboam and another person called Jeroboam. Jeroboam becomes northern king, and Rehoboam becomes southern king. And then if you read the history from 1 Kings 12 onwards, the northern kings were all bad kings, 20 of them. The southern kings, about 19 or 20, 8 of them were good, rest of them were bad. And God keeps the line through the southern king. In 2 Kings 17, we see, because of all the sin and idolatry, God judges the northern kingdom in AD 22. And they are taken into the Assyrian captivity, never to return back. And then from 2 Kings 18 to 2 Kings 25 is the remaining southern kingdom, where God gives them a chance. And they also get into all kinds of sin. And then God takes them into the Babylonian captivity, which is a captivity for 70 years, with a promise to get them back. And the captivity is to purge them from their sin. And Ezekiel is a prophet who is talking during this captivity. So the people are in captivity, right? And now these elders of Israel in chapter 20 have come to him. We want to what? Inquire of the Lord. We want to inquire of the Lord. And God is saying here, I will not be inquired by them. And that's very unique. Why is God saying that? Because in Exodus 20, verse 4 onwards, God gives them their whole history. I called the people out. I told them to give up idolatry, and they didn't. Then I took them into the promised land, and they didn't. And now even this generation has been into severe idolatry. And one of the key things God says, I gave them statutes and judgments, but they did not keep it. I gave them the Sabbath. They did not keep it. Yet for my name's sake, I protected my name and I did not destroy them. He keeps repeatedly saying this. And then he comes here to verse 32. What you have in your mind shall never be when you say, we will be like the Gentiles, like the families in other countries, serving wood and stone. Now this is a very important verse, and this really struck me as I was reading through Ezekiel. And this is really important. That what differentiates us here and biblical Christianity from religion is, in biblical Christianity, God influences man. Man doesn't influence God. God influences man, and God works in man. And the relationship with God is based on God's terms, and we are not placing our terms to God. Are we understanding? It's very important. So Cain came in Genesis 4 with the offering of his work, and it looked good, and God says, I don't accept it. But Abel came with the fatling, and God accepted, because Abel came to God based upon God's pattern, and God accepted him, right? But Cain was not accepted. This is very important today, very important, that when you and I believed in Christ as our Savior, we were justified in Romans 5:1, and we were made acceptable to God. We were reconciled with God. How did that happen? Because we came based upon His blood sacrifice on the cross, right? And you and I have been justified once and for all. You don't experience this, you don't feel it. It is declared in the Bible. Isn't that beautiful? Today, irrespective of how you feel or how you're doing with God, you and I, we are justified in the courtroom of God. Isn't that beautiful? All the days of our life, we are justified in the courtroom of God. Now, this is the key. This is the key. We tell everyone, yes, I'm a believer, I'm going to heaven, I have eternal security, I am justified. But this is what we do. This is what we turn around and tell God. Now that you have justified me, thank you for the gift. Now I'll live my life. I'll handle my life. Are you understanding? And this passage makes it very clear that God doesn't want us to become religious. What is becoming religious? Where becoming religious is where I live my life just the way I want. Maybe morally. Maybe immorally. I do my own thing. I live by my own standards, my own commands, by what I think is right. That's what Judges says. Judges 21:25 and 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I live and I think I'm right. Correct? I think I'm right. Are you understanding? And then when a difficulty arises, the phone call goes to Pastor Brian. Pastor Brian, I want to inquire of God. And God will tell Pastor Brian, so and so has come, I will not be inquired by them. See, this is what I want us to understand today. And this is really important. If we think that we can live life the way we want, and in a difficult situation, approach the man of God, and if he comes and prays, everything will be made right. We are totally wrong. Because God will not answer that prayer. Even though the man of God is not knowing what is happening in your life. Why? Because God wants me to be rightly related to him. Amen. That's the key. That's the key this morning. The whole Old Testament, if you were to put it in a sentence, is God gave his command. They disobeyed it. And he kept on reminding them, kept on warning them. They kept on disobeying. And then he disciplined them to get them back to him. That's the whole Old Testament in a nutshell. Are we understanding? So the key is this. This is not a sin of ignorance where they don't know. They knew the statutes. They knew the judgments. But they had what? Disobeyed. You know, this morning, God is not impressed by how much you know of the Bible. God is not impressed with me. Though I'm preaching, not impressed. How eloquent I am, how much I can know. God is much impressed by how much I obey the Bible. Are we understanding? How much I obey the Bible. Now this is the key. This is the key today in our lives. That the Christian life is not one of conforming. Right? All of you today are looking brilliant. Well-dressed, shaved. I assume smelling good. Right? But you know what? When God looks at us, he's not looking at the outside. I'll give you an example. When I got married to my wife, we were missionaries. We had little money. We had a cake. You know, the three-tier cake, you know? But it's a false cake. What is it? False. It's cardboard and all that thing. You know it, right? Some of you. And there's one small triangular sector in front of us where real pieces of cake are kept. So for the whole world, they're seeing a cardboard cake. But my wife cuts that, I give her a piece. But if after the wedding you would come and cut it, it would be what? Cardboard. But Pastor Brian's birthday, that cake, I really liked it. That was strawberries with fresh cream. It's what you see is what you get. And if you cut it, it was even more delicious. We, at the end of it, we wiped it right down to the bottom. What is the point I'm trying to make? The point I'm trying to make is, we can come to church and keep hearing. We can come to Bible school. We can come for 3 services a week. We can read the Bible, quote the Bible. But if it is not getting inside, if something is not happening inside, then I am that cardboard cake. For everybody from the outside, wow, what a good Christian. You cut it, it's what? empty. But if the word of God is coming inside, you know what it does? It's the word called metamorpho in Romans 12:2, where it changes me, where you can't get the old Anil Sarau. You can't get your old man. It is something brand new. So what you see on the outside is also what is on the inside. Are you understanding? Because, you know, I was hearing the ABD and I just realized that the easiest thing for God to do is bless us. The easiest thing for God to do is give us exactly what we want. But the hardest thing, but it's nothing is hard for God, is to work out this process in us where He is transforming us in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
If you say, God, give me a Mercedes Benz, He can give it to me right away. But for the patience of Christ to be worked in me, it will take a while. Right? Did God give us salvation as a process or did He give it in a moment? In a moment. But so He is working in us. Now this is the key to our lives today. This is the key. And I was thinking, about this same phrase which Pastor Mati used. How big is God today? Think about it. I was just thinking about it. Especially in India where we are a huge population where supply is always less than demand. How big is our God? Have you ever thought how big is your God? You know, it is called in theology the infinity of God. The infinity means if we were to measure God, suppose we take His height, God's height. So God says, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is God's height? Right? Right? So that's called the infinity of God. He is immeasurable, right? Then we see the humility of God. He became a man. It never said He was Goliath. So we could say less than six feet, right? The humility of God, where He became a man and He died on the cross and He won our salvation. And today, the humility of God, where when you believed, He came into your heart and He lives in you. That's the humility of God. I think that's incredible. The infinity of God, the humility of God, what is the ability of God? Right? Can we put a measurement? Lord, we want the bottom place to be done. Can God do it in a moment? What if God does it and the people don't come to church? That would defeat the purpose. See, God is not interested in buildings and things giving us as much as He's interested in doing a work in our hearts. Are we understanding? So I want you to answer, how big is your God? Is God bigger than your financial problem? Is God bigger than your health? Is God bigger than your job? Your marriage? Bad relationships? Bigger than your sin? Romans 5:20 says, where sin has abounded, grace has much more abounded. That's infinite. You know what is infinite in our lives? Eternal life is infinite. And that's what A.W. Tozer says. God can love this earth and He has enough love to love 10,000 more earths and He'll still not run out. Isn't that good? I think that's incredible. So today, let's not be preoccupied with what is going on in our life, whether good or bad, right? Let's understand how big God is. But to consult God, you know, sometimes, and this is like hilarious, sometimes we tell God, God, I want to be your consultant. So God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh, and Jonah, through his action, tells God, that's a bad idea. You have a bad plan. I want to be your consultant. So Isaiah 40:13 and 14 says, who is God's counselor? Whom did He consult? That's also repeated in Romans 11:34 and 30. Who has been God's counselor? Whom does God consult? Nobody. Why? Because God is God. He's big. He's infinite. He's love. He's merciful. But He wants to work in us. And He wants to influence us. And this is the key today. This is the key which I was really thinking about. If you and I, we take this message seriously, and we clean up our act of coming to God. And you know, this is the thing in prayer. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 26, 36 to 39. Three times he prayed, Father, if it be willing, take this cup away. Correct? But the Father never changed his will. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul prayed three times, take this thorn away. God never answered that prayer. My grace is sufficient. The Father never answered the Lord's Prayer because the Lord had to die for you and me. That was his will. Now this is the key. There has to be a personal cross in our lives where when we approach God, we are ready to hear what he has to say to us rather than we tell him what he should be doing for us. And when we accept the personal cross and we say yes to it, the whole of the power of heaven is behind it for the will of God to happen in our lives. Amen? Amen? That's the key. That's the key. So each one of us here is directly connected to God. Nobody is closer and nobody is further in terms of access. But we have to get our life, if it is not in order, in order. Which means we have to put away unforgiveness. We have to put away wrong thinking. And you know, some of the sins that we fight are really not sensual, immoral sins. The greatest sin that we fight is that we think we are somebody when according to the Bible we are nobody. The greatest sin we fight is pride in the mind, where we put ourselves above the Bible rather than the Bible being above us. That's the key. And if we just humble ourselves and come to God and we say, Lord, this is it. Right? God can come. Now, this is the in closing today. This is what happens to us. It's one thing to know you are wrong and therefore God is not answering your prayer. It's another thing to think you are right when you're actually wrong and you ask God, why is this happening? And that is Judges 6, verse 13. Gideon is saying, if you are saying, mighty man of valor, God is with you, why is this happening to me? But Judges 6, 1 says, because they did evil, God sold them into the hands of Midian. This is what, now this is the key. In James 1, 22, if I hear the word of God and I don't do it, I am what? I am deceiving myself. The word is paralogizomai, which means I have this way cut out by God and I take another way and I cut out my own way. And I think I'm right when actually I am wrong. Are you understanding? And the Bible makes it very clear. So in closing today, if you read Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 43, and there you shall remember your ways and all your doings with which you were defiled. And you should loathe yourselves in your own sight because of all the evils that you have committed. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you for my name's sake. Not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O house of Israel, says the Lord God. If you look at the context, this is a future for Israel. It is, before the millennial kingdom, right? It's a prophecy because Jesus came and he was going to usher the kingdom and they rejected. And then God had us in mind. We are the mystery hidden God, right? And this, but in an application, when we understand this, it brings us to repentance. And repentance is not tears, not emotion. It's not. Repentance is a change of mind, where we change from our way of thinking to God's way of thinking. And then his word works in me. And guess what? Then God says, when you call out to me, I will answer you. That's the key. There is nothing which God cannot fix in our lives when we are right with him. There's nothing, no problem which God cannot fix. Financial problem, marital problem, health problem, job problem, nothing which God cannot fix. If we get right, and we get right, God says, that's it. So in closing today, many times we get so preoccupied with our lives. It's human. We get preoccupied with our work, with our problems. And the problems, we make them bigger than God. Right? And in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus invites us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Right? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I believe with my heart that there is nothing which God can fix cannot fix in our lives. He will fix it. Because nothing is impossible with God. And it's not only for me, it is for each one of us.
Amen.
It is for each one of us. So, God is not looking at the externals today. 1 Samuel 16:7. God is looking at our heart. That's it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We praise you. We worship you. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the clarity of the scriptures, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us all truth. And we pray for a revival in our hearts, a revival in our midst. I pray for healings today. Those who are not well, you would heal. Lord, physical bodies, I pray for financial reversals, business debt. Even though the economy is demonetized, you can change things around, Lord. We pray for relationships, pray for health, pray for this kind of life, Lord, which you ask of us in the Bible, where you are influencing us, Lord, and where we can come boldly to your throne and ask of you, and you help us. You are there on our behalf. In Jesus' name.